Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is the AFL Grand Final all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, the big UFC fight coming up is Khabib versus Conor.
I'll tell you what, I've never seen them pumped up a press conference more.
But it wasn't much, was it? Like, considering what we've seen Conor do, I mean, the most memorable quote that comes out was Dana White saying that I do let Conor get away with more than anyone other fighter.
Yeah.
It's like...
And there was no crowd at this press conference?
Connor's phoning it in. He's not really trying to sell this fight.
Well, he's also, you know, he's got to be good for the police as well. But I like that they did really hype the press conference. You know, first time ever face-to-face, because with a Khabib fight, you've got to hype the press conference because you might not actually get the fight.
Yeah, true.
Doesn't always happen.
Well, and you know, where are they fighting?
Vegas, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, an Irishman in Vegas, how can that go poorly?
Yeah, I think that's why it was had no crowd. Yeah, it's going to be interesting if and when the fight happens. I'm excited to see it. It'll be a good fight. But
yeah. I mean, the other thing that flagged up was John Jones getting back into the pool and going from 4 years down to, what, 15 months?
15 months, 16 months, yeah, which is up in the next 2 minutes, I think.
Because he decided to snitch?
Apparently so.
But yeah. That's a weird one. And, you know, straight away he's like, oh, I'm going to challenge DC. And DC's like, fuck you. But the weird part is he's like, fuck you, you steroid monkey. I'm fighting Brock Lesnar. Jones fucking cheated, don't get me wrong. But Lesnar, there is not a creature on earth with more steroids in them than the Lesnar.
There's a few. But I think he's definitely sampled. You know, he's gone through the buffet and he's taken a little bit of each. Where guys like Paul Harris have, you know, just scorched themselves instead.
He pisses on a lemon tree and the lemon tree grows biceps.
Yeah, all right. And we are, of course, without Brenton because he's got to work tonight. And we've put off this recording of this one about 8 times so far. So we had to get in when we could. But we'll go back through the prelim finals first. And you can understand Brenton not being here, not wanting to talk about the Tigers and Collingwood. Amazing game on Friday night. It did feel like Collingwood gave Richmond no choice.
Well, I was pumped up for these fights, these matches, but they were fizzers. Unless you enjoyed one-sided beltings, which, look, if you're a Collingwood West Coast fan, absolutely. But I do think Collingwood and Richmond matched up well because they both play a similar sort of game, but Collingwood were cleaner, and they had a ruckman.
Yeah, and they were just rough. They were on. But I thought it was still a hard-fought game, just that Collingwood won every hard-fought battle. As opposed to the other one, which, you know, we'll get to next, obviously. But it did feel like it was Collingwood just imposing their will, and Richmond went, oh, shit, we haven't got anything.
I know Cox got the chocolates for probably best on ground votes.
I gave him best on ground.
But to me, Grundy was the one that really made the difference, because you get Ruckman, like old Nank, he taps either in front, down to a player, or he taps away from the opposition Ruckman.
Yeah.
Grundy taps 360. He was doing back taps, forward taps, over the top of Nank's head. And when you've got that, what they did with the setup was you've got your Collingwood player who's sitting defensive side of the Richmond player. So both of them are on the defensive.
Yeah.
The idea being that the Richmond player can block him from running goalward. And when you can only tap in one direction, that's fine. But when you can back tap and the players know it's coming, they can make space on their man, just quick push off, run away from goals, get the ball, and give it to a guy who's running 2 goals from 20 metres away. And they did that so fucking often.
It just wasn't that. So you could notice when Nankervis needed a rest, when Grundy was in the ruck against Grigg, or even, I think, Cochin went up for one or two, and Jack Rewalt, he went, right, you're going to play this half ruckman, I'm going to fucking monster him. And he did. He didn't let them become an extra rover. He made sure that they had nothing to do with it. And if he was tapping that ball against Grigg, he was thumping it, making sure he got every little bit of value out of that mismatch that he could.
But that was, it's so smart that we don't see it often enough.
Yeah.
You get the big ruckman come up against a part-timer.
Yep.
And rather
take him to task.
So often you see them tap down 2 meters away.
Yeah.
And the other ruckman or the other rovers ball it up and whatever. But when you can do a longer tap, you've already gained 10 meters.
And your players know what's coming.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
And that's, I mean, shit, that's something I did as a shitty ruckman back in under 15. So, all right, lads, I'm going to try and aim it here. We'll go for that.
See what happens, yeah. But you did gloss over Mason Cox there.
Look, in fairness.
Unbelievable.
His best game by a fucking country mile.
Who could have picked it? He was quiet in the first 2 weeks of the finals. You can see, especially the West Coast one, he was just always 2 meters short of the ball. But this one, he had a run and leap and equaled the record for contested marks in a final.
It's hard to contest a bloke who's 7 feet fucking tall.
And they gave him a run at it every time. There was a few times where you saw Bashir Hooley jump up and try and spoil, and he was smacking him fair in the shoulder blades.
And they, you know, when you're Bashir Hooley or Alex Rance, you've got to try and rough them up.
You got to. But Alex Rance, they couldn't find a spot to hide him. That's how it turned out for them.
Well, it's hard to... a quality player, don't get me
wrong.
Of course
he is, of course he is.
But he's a quality player as a part of a jigsaw puzzle. If you put him on his own... One-on-one with Cox, he's Cactus. He won't win that.
That was the problem. He's beaten a lot of people one-on-one this year. He took Buddy to town, probably this year and last year, that I'm reminding myself of. He's a great one-on-one player, but he got beaten one-on-one with DeGoey in the goal square.
DeGoey's no slouch, though. He is much stronger than people give him credit for.
No, but he's a third-year player or fourth-year player, and Rancey's, a couple of times All-Australian. But it was just, it showed that this is in the second or third quarter where they're already on the back foot. And you can see the mindset was, oh, fucking hell, and too late.
But I think Rance gets a lot of credit for what happens in that back six.
Of course
and,
he does.
And yeah. He quarterbacks that, so that's fine. Without the players around him, he wouldn't be as good as he is, which is true of any champion player.
I've said all along that if Grimes played for a different side, Rance would never be All-Australian.
Yeah, and that's not a slight on Rance. I don't think anyone can do a backline independently these days.
No.
Because players run in patterns
too
well.
It's just not how it's played. Yeah.
But he had nothing.
No.
He had an absolute shocker.
Obviously, one of the Trump cards of Richmond's taken away with Dusty, who clearly was not ready to play. I think he had one effective kick all night, and all the rumours about his knee turned out, was obviously about right. Never mind, the Tigers playing it off in the media, but you got to do that sort of stuff. Geez, it would have been a brave bloody coach to say, "Nah, you're not right, sit out," when he's Dusty. But he I don't think he had a clearance all day. And, they try to hide him down full forward a lot. And when the ball's not getting down there, it's not going to do you much help.
It is kind of weird that, you can't say they lost because of that. Because if
it didn't help.
No, it certainly didn't help. But if they're so one-dimensional, you tag out Dusty and you've won.
Yeah.
Well, which, hasn't happened very often this season.
Well, more than a few times in the last 2 years, they've done that. They've gone, right, we need a quick goal. Dusty went out in the goal square. Away you go.
Yeah.
And I think he was only one out in the goal square once all game that I can recall, and he gave a push in the back. That was his only chance. So it is one of their Hail Marys. It is one of their big plays. Just give it to Dusty, everyone else, he'll sort it out. And he couldn't do it. Obviously the injury.
And that it's also a key part for a bloke like that. You look at Dangerfield or whatever. When he was injured and played forward, he was very static. Which you are with a bad knee. He
still kicked six.
Yeah. But he did. That's just it, because he's such a perfect kick. And he also does that slight shoulder-to-shoulder push out really, really well.
He's tall as well, yeah.
And he's broad as fuck. Whereas Dusty, his key is his fend-off and his runs.
Yep.
And his ability to find space. When he's hobbled, doesn't happen. And he is a much, much less effective player when he's not as mobile. Which most players are.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still... I reckon if given it the choice again, I think they'd still play him. You can't leave him out.
Because who are you going to put in instead?
Yeah, it's going to be, Miles or Lloyd or someone. But there's nobody close to Dusty. It was just a shame that the rest of them couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
Riewoldt had a great game.
And he did. And he has had a, I think this is his best season. I know he still won the Coleman, and that's his second, third?
Third, yeah.
But this is by far the best one I've seen him play. Because a lot of the other ones I felt, he got a few gimmies, whereas this one, he had some games where he tore it apart.
He had to work damn hard to get the ball, and he marked really, really well.
And he was the only one who got them back into it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like going into the fourth quarter, they were still down by 5 goals, I think, at three-quarter time. He still felt like, you know what, there's a chance here. They got the first two of the final quarter, but then it was all the other way. And you could just see they're just running over it. But I don't think Collingwood could have played better.
No.
There wasn't much else they could have done.
2 goals, 8 for a half. You're not winning a game of footy with
No.
Not unless you're playing in fucking torrential rain. But no, like all credit to Collingwood. Not just tactically, but strategically.
Yeah. Yep.
The way they set up was perfect to beat Richmond.
Yep.
They were faster. They were cleaner. And they were just hungrier. Like the amount of times you saw their tackle stick.
Yep.
And they were just voracious.
And like you said, you can't underestimate Cox because Richmond didn't have a plan for him because nobody expected him to do that. Collingwood didn't expect him to do that. They just wanted him to compete, not clunk everything. And he kicked 3 and he had a chance for a fourth. So, you don't want to hope for that from him, from Collingwood's perspective. You know, you don't want to go, all right, that's what we need every week. You tell him that, but you're not going to rely on it.
3-1, which is, you know, one miss from that.
Yeah.
Which from memory was a gettable one, but still.
Yeah. But never mind that. It was 8 contested marks. And every time he went near the ball, you're like, well, he's going to get this. And he did.
Yeah. 11 contested possessions. He was actually decent below his knees.
Not too bad at all. And obviously the professional man on the mark as well, doing that job.
And I've got no problem with that. Like a lot of the times see they put the ruckman on the goal line, which is fine. But, you know, to me, I'd rather put him on the mark and make them kick from 10 metres further out.
Well, there's two places you can touch the ball, isn't it? It's within 2 metres of where it's kicked and 2 metres of where it's going to land. So, you know, why not guard them both?
But when you're on the mark, that's a bigger advantage than having a 7-foot guy on the goal line.
Yeah, I think so too, because it changes the kick more.
Yeah, and also it hassles them because they have to think about it. They're like, well, fuck. Like, and they're not going to kick just over his fingertips. They're going to try and get well back.
Yeah, or they've got to, exactly, add an extra 10 metres to their kick just to make sure, which unfortunately doesn't look like many of them did. They just went closer and tried to kick it higher. But anyway, they'll have a long summer to think about that. And also, it should be said, during the week, Buckley got the Coaches Association Coach of the Year Award. Hard to argue against, really.
Yeah, well, I really want to. Yeah. But to do what he's done with the team he's had and the injury list he's had to deal with.
Yeah, he's lost more games to injury than any other coach this year.
He has, I think a coach's main role happens before the first kick is kicked.
Yeah, it starts in November.
You need to set up the preseason, set up the structures, set up your team to work in that plan. And well, he's done it the best. The turnaround from 1 year from last year to this, it's literally the turnaround from getting sacked to being the number one coach in the land.
And like I said, if you go back to like rounds 4 or 5, and he had so many members of his best 22 out, what he's done is change his best 22 essentially. So if those guys were ready to go, he go, no, mate, I've got others now. You know. Guys like Fasolo are not getting a look in at all, and Blair and Elliot and, you know, the rest of them. You go, mate, we don't need you. We haven't got a spot for you anymore. So that's what they've done, is they've changed their best 22 by making other players better.
And the players they've blooded have turned out to be stars.
Well, literally, a rising star. That's not a bad effort. But and also, Dugowie, after doing his business at the start of the year and nearly ending up on the AFL scrap heap, comes in and has a career best year like this.
Oh, he was never on the AFL scrap heap when North had a. But how good's North talent identification? Fucking golden.
Yeah, I think a few knew that he was going to be all right, but God damn it, he's had a good year. A lot of people have made the comparison to Stevie J in 2007.
Yep.
Who had similar incidents at the start of the year and went on to win a Normie. He's every chance if Collingwood gets up.
I think he's got that mercurial nature of Stevie J, but I think he's a bigger unit.
I'd rather him right now at his best than Stevie J at his best, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yep.
All right, on to the other game, which I didn't think was as exciting. I still found Richmond-Collingwood interesting because Collingwood were forcing the issue and Richmond just couldn't respond. When it came to West Coast and Melbourne, I think Melbourne shot themselves in the foot and they never gave themselves a chance.
Well, they got a goal the hard way in the first half and that's it.
Did they?
Well, 6 points.
Yeah, exactly. they shot himself right from the opening get-go. I mean, Jordan Lewis gave away a dumb handball in the back line that missed by a mile. And then I think he gave away a free kick not long after that. You go, well, you didn't need to do that. And it cost them a goal or two. And then they could not hit a handball target to save their life. And if they did, they fumbled it.
But the amount of times they slipped over too. Like,
yeah,
I was slipping over. And West Coast seemed, you know, pretty standard. But they just kept slipping and sliding. And it wasn't even while they're turning. They were just running and feet out in front of them. And I don't think that's a home ground advantage. I think it's just having shit boots.
No, I think they were just shell-shocked. I don't buy into it that they celebrated too early, you know, with their win in the first couple of finals. I think they were just overawed and choked. Yep, they just fucked it up.
And Gawn had a shocker.
Gawn had a shocker. Gawn was well beaten, and they played him exceptionally well with Lysette and Vardy, both running through him and making him work for every possession that he got.
And I mean, if you're picking a ruckman at the moment, you're picking Gawn, like, yeah, if you wanted to pull one in. But as a pure tap ruckman, Grundy's got him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he does.
I think Gawn's better around the ground.
I'll go the exact opposite. I'd say Grundy's better around the ground.
Well, in that case, I've got Grundy all over the top because I think Grundy talks to his rovers much, much better. Because the amount of times Gawn would tap it somewhere and then there's a West Coast player there.
Yeah.
Or he's tapping it just down to the ground. And he's relying on contested possession wins, which normally they can get away with when you've got Oscar McDonald and Viney. Viney, I thought, was one of the few guys that could hold his head high.
Yeah, just like Rewalt was the only one for Richmond, I thought Viney was the only one for Melbourne. He tried.
He was relentless. Yeah. He fucked up a few times, don't get me wrong, but he never, ever took a short step.
No, I thought he was great.
Most you could ask for in a bloke in a final.
Yeah. I do think, though, that people are getting a little bit too excited with Melbourne because they beat, you know, Geelong and Hawthorn, but Geelong weren't good, and Hawthorn controlled a lot of that game and still lost by 6 goals, but Melbourne weren't world beaters, and I reckon they came up here, they were just a little bit off, and that was enough. And West Coast were just such a machine running at the top. Yeah. Darling and Kennedy, they look like, yep, we're ready, we're back to this. Especially Kennedy, he looked on from the first quarter.
Yeah, I think Melbourne's ingredients are there. But they don't have that, arrogance. Like, you know, that, all right, we've dropped the first 3 goals, doesn't fucking matter, let's do it this. Which isn't going to happen when you haven't played finals in 12 years, whatever it is. But I think this will be a stepping stone for them, and I don't think they're dropping off.
I hope that they don't take too much that... We choked. They stuffed it up because they did. But they can't fall back and go, you know what, we really let one go here. We missed this one.
No.
And I always go back to, was it Port Adelaide in 2014 or 2012, one or the other, where they lost that prelim. And then they had like a lost prelim hangover for like 2 years. I go, yeah, but remember that prelim? We're only one kick away. I don't think Melbourne are going to do like that. They should be like, well, you know what? We made a prelim.
They weren't one kick away either.
No, they were 11.
This wasn't a bad beat. This was a beat.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, West Coast won a prelim final by 60 points. I still think they got room for improvement. You know, there were a couple of times where they'd fumble the ball and they'd turn around, look around, oh, I got this. All right, oh, pick it up, we'll have another go. You know, there was just no pressure on them whatsoever. They couldn't help but play well.
Yeah, and so many stars.
Well, like we said, Kennedy and Darling. Darling needs to make up a lot for his past finals performances. I think he's on the track for it. Elliot Yeo did whatever he wanted. Hearn and McGovern down back, they had it easy. Even though McGovern did have a little bit of an injury scare.
Liam Ryan, how exciting is he to watch?
Isn't he? And Willie Rioli up forward. Obviously, they're... you got two massive tall targets down forward, and you got them crumbing underneath.
Two absolute terriers who can put it through the sticks from anywhere.
And not just that, but both of them play well up the ground as well. So you're getting that run through. Young Ryan, Liam, it is Liam Ryan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Loves a leap too. Goes for it, he does.
Not bad for a second-year player.
No, he's done well. They have winners all over the ground, though. They, like I said... They had no choice to be. I think, you know, they all beat their man, you know, and some of it was just by rocking up.
I thought Shuey, he was godlike.
Yeah.
Like, just, he's such a complete player now. Like, he's strong, he runs fast, he generally is pretty good by foot or by hand. I wouldn't say he's Judd or Ablett like yet, but he's...
He gets a lot.
He's looking close.
He gets a lot of the ball. But yeah, like I said, 60-odd points, and Lewis Jetta was having, you know, pot shots from 70, you know, putting him on top of the goal square, but they just had winners all over the ground. It was too easy for them. That is their only real scare going into the grand final, is that their prelim was too easy. Yeah. How's that for form?
Well, it didn't take a lot out of them either.
No, it didn't. Oh, only McGovern's injury, which I reckon might be a little bit worse than they're trying to play off, because they had a training run today or yesterday, I think, and he couldn't even walk laps yet, which is, I don't think you're foxing if you, you know, he can't walk laps. Hmm. But he's been named. They've named the teams now. We're recording this on Thursday night, so he's named.
Well, you're always going to name him, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. But late change in a grand final is fucking cruel.
Unless he already knows.
Yeah, well, still. But he's the kind of player, like, that they need him. You know, oh, we may as well, we'll go straight into the grand final. We'll talk about all the other stuff afterward. But he is going to have a job down back with Mason Cox. And it's going to be interesting because everybody said the way to play McGovern is you've got to play in front of him. You can't let him, you can't be behind him. You've got to be in front and lead the ball. Well,
Cox can't be in front of him.
Well,
he doesn't need to be in front of him.
No, but Cox, the way to beat Cox is you've got to be in front of Cox. You cannot stand behind Cox. Mm. Sorry, McGovern, you've got to be behind McGovern. Ah, bloody hell, I'm stuffing it up. So McGovern can't play Cox from behind, and that's what he wants to do because he wants to flow off. But I don't think he can reach over him. If he plays in front of him, it's going to be interesting. But I think he's got to out-muscle Cox, and somebody has to be in front because you can't let him have a run and leap at the ball. If his hands are anything like they were last week, you got no chance. All you're going to do is give away free kicks.
Well, on the grand final, to me, this is... we talked about the matchups in the prelims last week. The matchups here are perfect, and the one that will decide the match, to me, is the off-field matchup of Simpson and Buckley. Because I think the way the two teams line up, you've got the power of West Coast Eagles, because they're a stronger team.
They're a bigger side.
Physically.
Physically bigger, yeah. Not taller.
Versus the speed of Collingwood. And it's one of those ones where if Collingwood get an inch of room, they will run over the top of them. Yeah. But if West Coast decide, fuck this, it's a grand final,
yeah.
Every time you bastards go near the ball, I'm tackling you, and I'm tackling you hard.
Hard. Yep.
And if you have the veteran tackles where, look, you got rid of the ball, but we're still both going down, and I might put an elbow in your ribs, which... Any player that's played over 200 games does those tackles all the fucking time.
I think every player over 50. Pull that down a little bit, I think.
Except for maybe Gary Ablett. But,
no, you said tackle, so.
Yeah, fair enough. But and in the grand final, if an ump says, oi, stop the tummy taps, like, yeah, sure, ump.
Sure. Yeah. Give me the fine, right?
I'll fucking take it. But
that's just a few more autographs I sign, that's it.
If you're, you know, Shuey or Ryan or whoever they're going to put through the middle, you're shoulder-to-shoulder with Pendlebury, probably less so. He's more used to it, but I'd say Treloar, especially coming off injury. You're going to be punching him in the shoulder every 10 seconds.
Yeah, and side bottom. You've got to put time into side bottom.
You have to. He will kill you. To me, he's the one that decides. If Collingwood win, he's Norm Smith.
Yep.
If West Coast win, it's Shuey.
And I think if West Coast win, it could be a number of players, you know, because really... Their big advantage is their forward line. Goldsack and Howe had a little bit of an injury worry, you know, last week against Richmond, but obviously Rewalt got a hold of Goldsack. And that's a delicate sentence to say.
I can't see Goldsack having a better game against Kennedy if Kennedy's on.
Yeah.
To the point where I think if Cox starts looking like he's going to make something happen, they can just take Darling or Vardy or Lysette and say, all right, you stick on him. Maybe even both of you. Fuck it.
We got two ruckmen. They've got one and a half. We'll play our two versus their one and a half. Just man him up. So there you go.
Yeah. Because they've got those options.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I tell you what, though. It's going to be fun to watch. Because that's one of those ones where if they decide to do that in the first quarter, then West Coast are in the shit. Because they've gone to their B plan.
It's a hard matchup anyway, regardless. Because you've got Howe and Goldsack have got to pick up Kennedy and Darling. And Darling's stronger. So you probably think, you know, that's a better matchup for Goldsack. But Darling also plays up the ground more, which is where you want Howe. So is Howe going to leap over the top of him? And, yeah, they're going to have a really good back six system to combat that, because they're big, tall targets, you know, and the MCG likes big, tall forwards.
I mean, the criticism last year was that they don't have forwards to kick goals.
Yeah.
Dugowie and Cox have, you know, had that role.
Yeah.
And, you know, successfully.
And Stevenson.
Yeah, and Stevenson, and done it very, very well. But if you're picking a forward line out of these two teams, you're starting with Kennedy. You might go to Goey second, but Darling is your third at worst.
Yeah, exactly. I 100% agree. You know, Kennedy's first, and you don't even have to think about it. Dugowie can get him with speed, and that's going to be interesting how they match him up. But again, it might be just Hearn or McGovern dropping into the space.
But if you need to, you can throw Liam Ryan back there and tell him to run off halfback.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be tough. Out of the goal square, I wouldn't like Liam Ryan. But
that's why I like this match, because the coach is so fucking involved. Yeah. It's going to be how you adapt to each other, because their game plans are so different.
Yep.
That how you absorb their A game and then how you adapt to their B game. Because each coach will have looked at so much game footage, have so many different plans. They're going to go in and they're going to have to make changes.
It's control versus pressure. You know, West Coast will control it, and Collingwood will pressure it. One interesting factor for this game too, I think the last Bureau of Meteorology report that I saw said no rain, but it could be 12 degrees. That's fucking cold. Like, that's real cold.
Colder than Perth.
Especially Perth, I think they had 26 last week. So, you know, it's half the temperature, which I don't know if it plays something, but it might be something. I mean, it's better than, you know, playing in 30-degree weather, you know, which Collingwood wouldn't be used to. The West Coast Eagles might be more.
If it does get a bit dewy, who do you think that suits better?
I think definitely Collingwood, even though it means, like, if it rained, and so let's say it's wet and greasy, it does sort of negate Kennedy and Darling to a certain extent. Whereas Dugowie, Stevenson, they're going to be fine in the wet. They're going to like it in the wet. That won't bother them at all.
See, I'm the opposite. I know a lot of people have said that same point, but I'm going to be contrary there. I think Collingwood's speed is their main weapon, and in the wet, your speed gets blunted a little bit.
Slow them down a little bit, you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon so. And that's going to mean, you know, that extra heartbeat to lead a target, that extra moment when you're trying to goose step someone. So I think it's one of those ones where it won't help either team by any means, because neither of them are the scraggers that we saw from Footscray a couple of years back.
Yeah.
But I think big guys are still big in the wet, whereas little guys need to work a bit harder.
It'll be interesting to see, that's for sure. The wet might negate Grundy a little bit as well, but he's basically a ruck rover. So he's probably still a value now that I think about it.
This is what I find kind of hard. Like, I love the underdog story of Buckley coming through.
Yeah.
But I also love the story of him knocking back North twice, Brisbane once, and then missing out on flags.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would be pretty petty to not wish a champion player a premiership.
I'm fine with being petty.
I'm a little bit petty. So I can live with that. But the thing is, too, if he does manage to get one here, no person on this green earth can say he doesn't deserve it.
Ah, fucking oath. No, he has.
Which shits me even more.
No, obviously, we've said it many times. I would have had him sacked before this year. And I probably still would have had him sacked in round two or three.
Yeah, mind you, I would have sacked Hardwick in about 2012 too. And even with that, I know everyone loves to dislike Collingwood, except for Collingwood supporters. But there's a lot of likable players on Collingwood. Like Grundy, I think he's a champion bloke.
Yeah, there is, but they're still Collingwood, so fuck him.
Yeah, Cox is a fantastic lad.
Treloar, fuck him.
Treloar's a dick.
Treloar can eat a dick, because he came out and said the rest of Victoria should get around the Collingwood, you know, because it's us versus the Vics. No, mate, that's not how this fucking works.
Well, I'm on West Coast solely for the fact that if West Coast win, I won't have to hear about it.
Also, if West Coast win, if Collingwood win, that's 16 flags. That means they're equal with Carlton and Essendon.
Yeah, I don't like Carlton and Essendon either.
Can't be having them equal.
Oh, hang on. How much will it set Carlton? Could this be worth it? No, probably not.
No.
No, it's still not worth it.
So what's your tip then? You're tipping West Coast?
Actually, I've made the joke, but I generally do think West Coast. Because I don't think Collingwood have the muscle for a grand final, and it's going to go the knuckle. There will absolutely be melees. There will be people getting gut punches, and it'll be like if West Coast channel 1980, it's going to be manic. And plus, West Coast have more players in the grand final. Granted, a lot of them didn't play very fucking well.
Yep.
How many premiership players are going to be around?
There'll be probably half a dozen on Collingwood's list still. No, probably less than that. So, what, Sidebottom, Pendlebury, Goldsack, That might be it, you know.
See, I'd really like to see Simpson get in Buckley's head, just turn up with his premiership medallion on, and just be like, you haven't got one of these, have you?
Does he have two? He might have two.
I think he does, actually. Yeah. Yeah, the 96 and 99.
Yeah.
Whereas
on the other side, I know there's Lewis Jetta, obviously. Hutchings, did he win one? Was he at the Bulldogs? No, that was Hambling. I'm not sure. I think just Jetta on the other side. He must be the only one. So, yeah, not many out there.
Yeah, so, Simo, if you're listening, wear them both and just let them jingle as you're going into the breakfast. Maybe put a couple in your deck and wave it at Buckley. Who knows? Just put him off any way you can, because, let's be honest, whichever coach blinks first is going to lose.
Well, the coach that blinks first will be the one which doesn't get the run early on. You tip West Coast. I'm also on West Coast. I can't believe they're not favourites in this game. They've had a canter through. Last time they played in Perth, I thought Collingwood owned the game, but didn't make the most of their opportunities. And Darling and Kennedy only really got going in the final quarter. I don't think Collingwood are going to have it on their terms as easily as they did 3 weeks ago, and they still lost that game.
Well, the other thing I think, too, is that West Coast finished second. I think we've been sleeping on them a little
bit.
For
a reason.
Yeah. Collingwood had a great run.
Yeah.
You could argue had the better draw, basing on home games and travelling.
Fuck all that. They beat Richmond to the MCG. Nobody else did.
Yeah. No, they've both teams done well, but I think Collingwood's just got that bit better experience. West Coast have got a bit better experience players, and they've got the muscle and the that spot of arrogance.
And I think, I know it's been talked about a fair bit in the media this week, but they go back to 2015 where they were favourites as well. And probably a dozen of their players out there had the worst game of their career. Mm. It's not going to happen twice. Shuey's not going to be that bad. Kennedy's not going to go goalless. Darling's not going to drop fucking sitters. It can't happen again.
Gaff will probably have a worse day. But and that's one thing too. If Gaff and Nat Nui are in there, they're favourites.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well, I mean,
but they're not.
They're not. And they won't be. I'm tipping West Coast. And I reckon they're going to have a bit of party time with 20 minutes to go.
Geez, it'll be funny though in the following days. I know everyone's got an opinion about every trade that ever happens.
But of course,
if your team's in the grand final, and you have not signed yet,
I know it's funny with Gaff, isn't it?
Look, it's one of those ones too. With his dad being sick, maybe he's just like, look, I'm not even thinking about it until the grand final is over. That's bullshit. Everyone's thinking about it at every stage.
I did like the article and interview he did with AFL.com where he said, you know, it's only my fault. You're like, oh, yeah, it is, champ.
Yeah,
you know, that's
true.
Why he's not playing. Every indication from the outside looks like he's comfortable there, he likes being there, and he's going to stay. But he hasn't signed. And you reckon leading into a grand final, if you'd already made up your mind to sign, you would announce it now. You wouldn't at the start of the week. So, which means either he's made a decision to go, or he really has not made a decision at all yet.
Yeah, and everyone's got an opinion. Only he knows, but...
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He might not.
Yeah, I would honestly say that if you're in a team that's going into the grand final and one of your better players hasn't signed yet, hasn't let you know what he's doing, if he ever was going to sign, you'd be like, mate, let us know now. Yeah. We can just forget about it, whatever.
Well, that's it.
But imagine, though, West Coast do win and you're the bloke that didn't get the medallion.
The one that missed out.
Because you belted someone. Like, if you get injured, that's different. Like, it's out of your hands.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
But you had that one moment of snap, and
it
cost you a flag.
It'll be something that, you know, it gets brought up 20 years from time. you know?
Yeah. I mean, you'll get three with North, but still.
Yeah, of course we'll. All right, so they're our tips. We're both on West Coast. I tried to get Brenton to get his tip, but I couldn't get it. So let's just assume he's on West Coast as well because he hates Collingwood as much as the rest of us. So we're an all West Coast pick here. But
I do think, though, whoever wins the first quarter wins the game.
Okay, yeah. It won't be no come from behind victory here.
No, it'll be as soon as one team gets a bit of a run, either the Collingwood crowd will shut up.
Yep.
Or they'll be in full voice and
just you won't be able to stop them.
Oppressive. So, look, get out of the gates hard, kick the first three, game over.
All right, let's talk about a bit of the sundry stuff before we sign off. We did have, got to mention the VFL Grand Finals. Yeah. I'll be very quick on that one. It was a great game. And Brendan Whitecross, after missing out through three AFL flags and two VFL flags through knee injuries, he finally pulls in a premiership in the VFL. So that was good. Anyway, I also heard the Sandful Grand Final was an absolute belter.
Biggest Sandful crowd ever.
Yeah, 40,000. Mm. A big Grand Final. That's damn impressive.
It's a bit rough to win the flag after having a week before having too many men on the field for about 9 minutes.
Yeah, I do agree that they shouldn't have been playing. But anyway, they did and they won. So that's the end of that.
They're not going to asterisk it now.
No,
they
can't.
Happen in the prelim.
You can argue about it all you like, but it won't change it. Not now.
No, not unless they're on drugs.
Speaking of which, we'll get on to the Brownlow medal. The favourite got up for the third or fourth year in a row, the short price favourite. But even watching the count, I wasn't that convinced he was going to get there.
Well, I know I sent to you about just before the
halfway
bye rounds. Sidebottom was up by about three or four.
Three or four. Yeah, I think he had, what did he have, 15 votes at the turn.
And I'm like, look.
That's a lot.
The reason I thought that was because when players have an early run and they're getting votes, generally they'll earn a couple of ones and twos that they wouldn't get otherwise because the umpires are used to voting for
them. They've noticed them and gone, him again, yeah.
And I think, too, umpires, like the rest of us, don't want to look dumb. They did in round two when they gave Marley Williams three votes for doing fuck all.
he got his 14 kicks.
I'm like, mate, are you fucking serious? And then Ben Cunnington gets 32 contested possessions, a world record, and doesn't get a vote. I'm like, fucking hell. But anyway, I think generally umpires will look back at the game, because you're not thinking about it while you're umpiring, I would dare say, not having umpired an AFL game myself. But they go, all right, yeah, well, I voted for him before. He had a good game.
Yeah.
Got a few. Yeah. He'll get my one or two. Because normally you can tell the superstar, you can tell who the best of the losing team was.
Yeah.
And it's that one vote where you're like, sidey, he had a good one.
It was a few of the Richmond games, actually. I think it was five or six games that they won where the opposition player got three votes, including a 77-point win over Frio where Nat Fyfe got the best on ground. But I remember watching the game. I'm like, he was best on ground, like by a country mile. I think a lot of that spoke to the way Richmond played all year, that it was such an even spread of contribution.
Well, the thing with the votes, too, is that you'll often see the players who get suspended won't get votes the rest of the season.
Yeah, they tend to get ignored after that.
Yeah, which I'm not a fan of that because it means that players are getting votes that wouldn't have gotten
otherwise. That wouldn't have got it otherwise, yeah, I agree.
I think it's, if a player's ineligible, you can still vote for him.
Yeah.
That's just his bad fucking luck.
Yeah.
Because if you get suspended the last match or the first match, you're still ineligible.
I read there was an interview with a couple of umpires and they were talking about they love that the umpires vote on the Brownlow medal and they keep it as that. I don't think the umpires get invited to the Brownlow medal either, which is interesting.
Jeez, would you go? You'd have 90-odd players going,
oi, mate, yeah.
You didn't give me any votes when I got fucking 10 goals.
But they did say, sometimes a player gets a bit lippy and stuff like that, and they might not get a vote. But they argue that it is the best and fairest. So I can, when I heard that, I'm like, yeah, okay, it does fit the bill.
Depending on how they're lippy, if they're like, what was that for, ump? And he's like, you pushed in the back. And then the replay shows, no, you fucking didn't.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, well, that's just you being fucking petty.
Yeah.
But if it's like you pushed in the back.
It's abuse.
No, I fucking didn't, you dickhead. 50 metres. Yeah. Then you've probably done yourself out of a vote and that's fair enough.
Yeah. But I never considered it that way. I'm like, because I thought, yeah, that's just petty. But it is called a best and fairest for a reason. And that's why, suspension gets out. I go, okay. I don't like it, but I can understand it.
Like, it depends on whether the ump's getting a bit of constructive criticism
or
for his
flat
fuck
out
up,
abuse,
or whether it's a player being a dick.
Yeah,
umpires can be dicks too. Let's not worry about that at all.
It's good to see goal of the year and mark of the year went to worthy winners because there was some fuckery going on there last year, especially with the mark of the year. But I have no problem whatsoever with Jack Higgins round the post being called a goal.
Heart going a million. Minutes a second.
I was watching that game, and I remember I just stood up and went, you can't be serious. That is brilliant. That is unbelievable. And that's why it should always be goal of the year, that one. And Heaney's mark, it could have been Heaney's or Walters, as far as I'm concerned, but they were absolute screamers for mark of the year this year. So
I did like Higgins' speech because I don't believe he prepared one.
Oh, really?
Just because
what gives it away?
You can't prepare that level of idiocy.
Because his heart was going 1,000 minutes per second?
Yeah. Fuck it. He makes John Barnes look like Stephen Hawking. But it's hard not to like the lad, is he? Because he is who he is, yep. And there's no apologies there. And
he's a first-year player.
And fair play to the lad. I'm pretty sure he skipped out on year 11 and 12 to do recess.
No, he literally did skip out on high school, yeah.
Or maybe it was just year 12, I don't know.
I think it didn't look like there was a lot of year 11 in him, to be honest, either.
He might have turned up for a PE.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's his instincts are solid, you got to say that.
Yep.
And he was trying like hell not to say the word throw.
Oh, no, that...
What'd you do with it? No. I put it out here and then I placed it on the boot, making a throwing motion with his hand.
I think he said, I dropped it upwards. Yeah. I think he might have said that. It might have been in one of the interviews beforehand, but which is beautiful. I love it. You know, great. But that was good. And obviously, Tommy Mitchell had it sewn up with a couple of rounds to spare. Which is good because it allowed Clarko to get a quick nap in.
I did see that too. What drives me nuts though is that after it was decided, they're like, "All right, and round 22." And then bang, 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 bang.
Like, it was like calling the races.
Could we fucking do this pace all night?
No, I like it being three votes.
Pendlebury.
I love the pause. You've got to have it. It's just like the goal umpires. They know it's a goal. When they walk up to the goal line, you just got to wait that little second.
How do you feel when you're Pendlebury, though? Like, every time you get a vote, everyone's like, oh.
Bad luck. Collingwood is used to the booze.
Do you reckon he's just throwing the finger at side bottom? Just like, fuck you.
But I do like when it gets down to that last one. It's like, you know, round 22 or whatever. You've had three kicks. And you're like, but I could get this one. You never know. I could get a vote. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. But it was exciting towards the end with them both coming in because I started going frantically back through the stats of the last games. I'm like, no, he's got a chance here. He's got a chance here. No chance there. Biggest surprise on the night was Brayshaw. 21 votes.
I did like his cheek too.
He didn't get invited.
When he's like, big night getting the third place Brownlow medal. I was dressed by Cotton On sitting in the lounge room.
Hey, got a plug in for the sponsors. What a professional.
Oh, he's going places.
Yeah, isn't he? Now, you said it, and I think a lot of other people said it as well, the helmet might be a lot to do with that.
Well, I did say that because in the past, you have seen players who stand out get noticed, and that's just human nature. Yeah. You have 20 blokes look the same, and you don't know which one's done well. You don't see their numbers.
Some bloke's got a neck tattoo.
Yeah, or some bloke's dyed his brown hair bright white and has a goatee and moustache.
Well, red by all accounts.
Well, I don't know.
They do something to stand out.
Yeah, and the NBA guys do it too. You know, they dye their fucking hair in mohawks and shit, whatever. But I don't think it hurts matters at all.
So how many votes do you reckon the helmet's worth?
Oh, 20?
I reckon, I thought Brayshaw might have got 8 or 9 votes, and he got 21. So I'm saying it's worth 10 on that or more on that maths, which isn't good. But it would have... pissed off a lot of people because I know highest vote getter per club is a really nice betting option for a lot of people, and you could have had Clayton Oliver, you could have had Maxi Gawn, and you would have been wrong in both of them. Even if you tried a Quinella of the two, you still got it wrong. He was the biggest surprise for me. I thought Tommy Mitchell spoke really well with his Brownlow medal.
Clarko disagreed.
Clarko had heard it all before.
I did like how he said his missus helped him out.
Didn't he? Jeez, so, I thought he was going to propose, to be honest.
Hang on, he dropped a couple of the average. I think he went from 30, something 0.8 to 30-something 0.6 over the years, so she's cost him 0.2.
He had one less disposal than he had last year, and he played one more game or two more games.
Yeah, so, she's been no fucking help at all.
Yeah. Oh well,
unless she's managed to go and, you know, stick a kidney punch into Gorney and Grundy and...
Well, Sidebottom was the one she needed.
Dangerfield and all those guys. Maybe she has. Maybe she's a fucking ninja.
Yeah. I'll go with that. That can work.
I can't remember her name, to be honest.
No, it doesn't matter either. All right, so just as we wrap up, is there any more big trade news that you've been keeping your eye on since North are linked to bloody everyone?
Honestly, I think North are going to have three teams next year.
So the talent acquisition might be... Oh, sorry, talent identification might be good, but geez, they can't count well because they know they've only got 42 on a list, right?
Yeah, although it seems like we've got rid of eight. At the moment, Polek and Hall are quite likely.
They're done, I think.
Practically
done. Polak is actually done because he's already said it. Hall is most likely. There was a North player that had a look up at Sydney this week.
Clark,
was it?
Yeah. He's a young lad that I don't mind, but fuck, he is terrible by foot.
And he's light too.
Yeah. So honestly, him leaving, you will have 99% of North members willing to give him his cad fare to the airport. Yeah. Which might actually get him an Uber halfway or something, I don't know.
Bit of a whipping boy, you say.
He's one of those lads where if he cleans up his possession, because he gets a fair bit of the ball off of a half-back in the back pocket, he'd be a golden player. But his possession's shit.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be trying to fix that at AFL level. That should happen much earlier. And the other thing is to, in the other direction... Nick Newman's been flagged to come to North.
Yeah.
May happen, may not, whatever. He'll probably spend a bit of time in VFL.
He's a list clogger.
But the interesting one for me is Alex Johnson. They're bringing him over as an off-field, not as a player.
Really?
Well, what they're saying is, look, you come over, you have a coaching apprenticeship, so you work with a secondary backline coach or whatever.
Yeah.
Or midfield coach, who knows. And we'll see how you are at the end of the season. And
right.
To be fair, North managed to get Jared Wade up for more matches than Carlton did, despite the fact that he was older. So
yeah, hang on.
Their medicos aren't too bad.
More matches than Carlton. How many did he play, though, per season? Like, what is his average?
North, I think, it was about 13.
Yeah.
At Carlton, I think it was about 10.
Yeah.
So, and I'm making those numbers up.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, if you're Carlton, you're not checking.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go check because that sounds about right. That's what I mean. Like, he would have averaged 13 a season at North at
best. But getting
best,
a 35-year-old injury prone up 13 per season, I think that's fucking good.
Yeah,
good numbers. But they've done well.
You're right. That's not bad, but now you're dealing with Alex fucking Johnson. And when it comes to injuries, there is none greater.
We've got Paul Ahern up. But I like the fact that Emetico's gone... It's like when you bring a car that's been in a crash to a mechanic, and they're like, it's going to be expensive.
It. We can do this.
Need to replace this, replace that. Look, it's cheaper just to get a new one. Oh, but I like this one. Look, I reckon we can do it. Yeah, I reckon we do it. And in fact, I reckon we can probably make it better. It'll be lighter. That's the thing, too. He's probably lost about... But a kilo of cartilage.
It's a good pickup for North, too, because if you have him on coach's list, and while he's obviously going through another reconstruction...
Well, he's cheap.
Not just that, but Sydney is still footing the bill.
Actually, that's true.
They have to pay for the knee reco, and then you can pick him up once he's ready.
So he's very fucking cheap.
Yeah.
Or maybe that'll be part of the deal or something. I honestly don't know what happens with that sort of thing.
He's still covered under his insurance and all that, so they're not going to touch it. I was only being facetious. He is obviously a delisted free agent, so you don't have to give up anything for him.
No, he just walks straight in.
Well, hobbles.
Well, crutches in.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that because for all his flaws, and most of them are his left knee and his right knee.
Yeah. He's a good player.
The mental strength you have to keep coming back, I think, is something that...
And want to do it again.
Yeah, but I think that's something that makes you a good coach when you're... like you said, there's been no player have a worse injury run than him.
Yeah.
What is it? Six knee recos.
Yeah, this is his sixth.
Which case, give the game away, lad. You're done.
I agree with that, too.
But the fact you still had the mental strength to keep coming back after five...
It says a lot.
It does. Yeah. And that's the sort of bloke you want around a club. Not necessarily around the young lads and showing them how to do stretches or anything. But I've got no problem with having that guy around. Just... I think it's smart to say, look, let's see how you go.
Yeah.
And if you're right end of the year, we'll rookie draft you and go from there.
What about the talk about Wingard? I reckon there's absolutely nothing in this at all, and it's just old Chatty Wingard trying to drive his price a little bit north.
No, is he? Well, he's not coming to north. Let's not throw that in there.
His price.
But I think there's something there. I think he's one of the lads that...
So you reckon he's going to the Bulldogs?
I don't know about the Bulldogs, but I think there's a lot of clubs that will be talking to him. It just depends on whether it's something you can get done.
Well, yeah.
Port are going to be fair, like reasonable, and yeah. Go, well, look, he's a quality player. You give us a...
We want 4 first-round draft picks.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, fuck off.
That's what I think. I think he's just trying to get an extra couple of hundred out. And I just cannot see him leaving Port Adelaide or Adelaide. And I don't think Adelaide are going to pick him up either. There's no way that they'd be fair and reasonable in the trade on either end of the table or that one.
No.
Be fun to watch, though.
But a few other updates. Taylor Gerea, apparently, two of the Swans.
Had a look around the Swans. Not a bad idea for him either, because he was stuck in the VFL for the last half of the year. Not getting a game at the Hawks, obviously.
I think he's handy there, too, to be honest.
Well, I mean, somebody said it online, like, we don't want another fringe player. And I'm like, he has 2 premierships to his name, but he is a fringe player. He's a lot like Suckling, who went off to the Bulldogs, obviously, who's also a dual premiership player.
Hmm.
But it's just like, you know, if you're the 22nd best player at one team, you're like...
I don't think he gets in ahead of Jarman Impey, even though I think Impey's...
Well, he didn't. He did.
Yeah, he's got a bit of way to go, Impey, but I think Gerea's got a bit longer to go.
But, you know, the Swans have obviously lost a couple of people as well, and depth was one of their issues this year, so they're trying to fill that up, obviously.
Well, we already know that Hanbury
is going to the Saints, so that's done.
Yep, and who else was it?
Hanbury,
Newman. Rowan. Is talking about it as well.
Yeah, Rowan was told by the Swans, go see what you can find.
Yeah.
And I think he's rumoured to be looking at Geelong, because God knows they love to pick up a player.
Yeah. He was another one that toured north, but I think that's just because he's mates with Ben Cunnington. So they need a bit of midfield depth, so I don't think Drea is a starting midfielder there, but he's someone you need to get.
Drea's not a midfielder. He's a halfback flanker or a defensive forward type.
Yeah.
He's just best 22 type of player.
But best 22 for sure is Mitch McGovern going to Carlton.
Yeah, it's just got to get the deal done now. And obviously we know that Carlton and Adelaide are happy to walk away from the table. But he's nominated Carlton. Carlton have got plenty of collateral to play with.
It just depends on how much they burned Adelaide last year with Bryce Gibbs.
Well, they got it done eventually, didn't they?
Yeah. Mitch Duncan wants to go back to WA, according to rumour.
Bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
That'll be funny. Aaron Hall North, that's already been confirmed pretty much. Lockie Neal go to Brisbane exchange for pick 4. Freo wants to get Jesse Hogan back home with that. I think if you're Melbourne and you can get pick 4 for Hogan, you're going to talk about it.
You're going to think about it, but geez, he can play when he's fully fit. He's what they were missing. They could definitely use him. They want to hang on to him. They'd rather Jesse Hogan than a pick 4, definitely. But if Jesse says, look, I just want to go home, because this... speculation about Hogan comes up every year.
Well, so, I think part of it too is that he looks so uninterested. And maybe that's just his general matter.
Yeah, I think it's just his way.
But you look at...
he's had a rough year.
Yeah, it's very rough.
For multiple reasons. So maybe you definitely wouldn't be leading the discussion, put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, super talented player, absolutely no doubt at all. But, I can see how there's that conversation all the time. Other thing is too, Rory Atkins apparently wants to move to Vic. There'll be plenty of players.
Rory Atkins?
That's the story coming out.
That's the first time I've heard that one.
His manager's apparently putting out feelers, trying to make it happen.
Interesting.
And they reckon he could be the meat in the sandwich with the McGovern-Carlton deal.
Yeah, that'll make sense.
And it does. And it's one where both teams will be like that. Like, we've won here. But the big one, obviously, to me, is Scheel.
Yeah, he's still talking. I just got this feeling he's going to Essendon.
Well, Hawthorn, Carlton, Essendon are all there. And St Kilda have thrown an offer at them, but if you're Scheel, you're like, out.
Mate, I want to be playing in finals, and you don't know how long away that is for St Kilda. Look, I've said for years, take him in Hawthorn in a heartbeat.
Oh, should you?
But, geez, you put him into that midfield at Essendon. That's a hard, tough running midfield.
That's the problem. I don't want to.
No, God, no. That's why I'm happy to take Shield and bench him if that means that Essendon don't get him. But I don't know why. I've just got that feeling that it's an Essendon are in the box seat.
But if you're Carlton and you pick up Shield and McGovern, that's a good fucking trade off season.
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad.
All you need is now a ruckman and a forward, and you're laughing.
Yeah, I got to say, all you need is the rest of the team. No, you got Paddy Cripps, you know. What else do you need?
Yeah, and Wiedering can't have two shit seasons, can he?
Kerno's getting better. He'll get consistent.
I do like Kerno.
They got pieces there. It's just, all the rest of it.
On top of that, apparently Dean Kent wants to go to St Kilda. And I think that's true, just because anyone who says they want to go to St Kilda...
You can't be... That's not a game you want to play. Yeah. Like, that's not a good bluff.
Not really. Weird part for me, Jonathan Rourke getting delisted.
Why is that weird?
just that a player goes from... I think he had a good last season. Not this year so much.
No. He played three games.
He had a few good games, didn't he?
Nah. Oh. You must be thinking of someone else. He's played...
Maybe I'm thinking of Burton.
You're probably thinking of Ryan Burton.
Oh, there you go.
Who was the runner-up to the Rising Star last year. Yeah, Jono O'Rourke was the number two pick for GWS years ago and has had hamstrings and calf injuries every bloody day since.
Oh, he's fucking cactus then.
Yeah, he's no good. Yeah, I don't know if he'll even get picked up.
The big one that has been talked about in my circles, though, is Bruce, where he's going. The weirdest thing is Melbourne keeps getting mentioned. And I'm thinking, if you're leaving North to get out from under Goldstein...
Yeah, it's going the worst place to go. Yeah.
And they've already delisted Cam Pedersen, which he's a backup ruckman who's happy to spend most of his time in the VFL.
Yeah, he's a forward who can pinch hit in the ruck. But Bruce
he's a McKernan.
Bruce should be going to a side where he's going to be the number one ruckman.
Honestly, Geelong would be a perfect
Geelong
team for
him. Screaming out for a ruckman.
Especially a muscular ruckman that can look after them. Or even GWS, who have someone that could look GWS after their little guys. Another Mumford style.
Brisbane, because Martin's, pushing 30 now.
Even Adelaide. Sauce Jacobs.
If you can't get out from under Goldstein, you're not getting out from under Sauce. But Sauce has still got a few years left. I mean, there's Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide would love a backup for... what's his name? Paddy.
And with Nick Nat out and Lysette not locked in.
There's just so many clubs he'd be better off at.
It's literally the worst.
Yeah. Or second worst to North. But does he still have a contract?
Yes.
So, okay. Yeah. So a trade
has to happen.
It has to happen.
I think he's actually got 2 years left.
Right. But, I mean, the trade, you're going to get a fourth rounder for him at best. So that part of it. But
I think it's also, because he's a contracted player... You can play a little harder.
Yeah.
You can be like, look, fourth round is what he's worth.
We want a third. Yeah. And obviously North needs some points for Father-son.
Taron Thomason.
Yeah. Academy.
Maybe Bailey Scott.
Yeah.
Although there's also the fact that even though old mate...
From North? Blakey?
Blakey. Even though he's nominated Sydney.
You still might still around.
They still work on the preference system.
Yeah.
So if Sydney don't pick him up, and North put in the bid, then Sydney decide not to match, North can still get him. So it's not one or none with those. There's a preference-based system.
Oh,
now.
I didn't know that. So hang on. So let's say, for the sake of it, Carlton decide with number one to pick Blakey, and Swans go, no, fuck that, we're not matching. Does that mean North can then go, yes, we will?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I never knew that. That's interesting.
I only found that out through the whole Bailey Scott thing.
And, there you go. Yeah.
Because he was the only other... Well, it was Bailey Scott and young Blakey.
Interesting.
For that.
I'd like to see how that goes.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how that interacts with the academy pick.
It might, hang on, that might be too, if he says I'll nominate Sydney, which he already has, and I'll nominate North as second. But if he says Sydney or bust, then you don't get a say.
No, I'm pretty sure it's full preference. Like, it's you get your three, it's your Senate vote.
Yeah, but
you don't get to put a one above the line.
I thought he can say one, two, or three, not you have to say three. Anyway, we'll find out on the day, I guess.
Yeah, well, fuck it. I can't see Carlton using their number
one pick. No. It was just as an example.
Yeah,
He's obviously not.
Other rumour that was thrown up was Brandon Ellis at North. That ain't happening, let's be honest.
No, I think he's going Gold Coast.
He can do what the fuck he wants, but I think North have to add... It's lucky they're expanding Arden Street.
I think Anthony Miles has already said he's looking at Gold Coast because he's out of contract. And I heard a rumour today that Taya Miles for Hawthorn has been told, look, mate, go see if you can find a trade, which is heartbreaking because he looked so controlling in the VFL this year and he played, I think, seven or eight games in a row. And I don't know why he got dropped. He should have been in that the final sides for us because he's turned into such a good ball user and he thinks his way through problems. If they get rid of him now, they'll regret it.
Maybe just one of those players that doesn't handle structure. I don't know.
He looked like he did. He looked like he finally got it, you know. He's been on the list for a couple of years and it looked like it clicked for him.
Yeah. Anyway. Another rumour that went around was Brad Crouch to Richmond. Let's be honest, he's not happening.
No.
Matt Crouch just knocked back trade last season to play with his brother. So his brother fucks off now.
Yeah, and Matt, you say knock back offers, but I don't think he even really considered them. He's like, no, I'm staying in Adelaide. Just let it work out.
Yes, that's horse shit. Jack Martin, apparently leaving the Suns.
Yeah, whatever.
Going to Essendon, but yeah, good luck. Pick him up. Have fun. Will Brody to the Blue Baggers again.
Yep, good.
Again, bit of a clogger. GWS seem to be losing quite a bit. Lobb, Setterfield, Finlayson, obviously Shield.
Well, they have to because everyone said about their...
The weirdest part for me, though, is that none of this has been talked about Kelly. Because Kelly's got the same contract length as Shield. North have obviously said there's a big fucking pay packer waiting for you.
Well, but you know, can North afford it, though? If they've signed Pollack for overs, and they might be just waiting to see what happens with Gaff. Because if they don't get Gaff, they might go, right, we didn't get him. Kelly, we've still got your number.
Oh, they can afford it depending on how they want to structure the contract.
Yeah, nobody knows how the contracts are really structured.
Yeah, they could say, look, we're going to pay you $3 next year, and then the year after that, it's going to be $1 million, $2 million, whatever.
But still, it's still got to work out, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's still math to be done, but our dudes can math. We got Goldstein. But I mean, probably the biggest out we're seeing this season is Sam Newman. He's not coming back next year, apparently.
Well, maybe. Who knows?
No, fuck knows. But yeah, I mean, those are the major ones, but it looks like there's going to be about 40 players finding new homes, which is the biggest trade season ever.
Something else interesting this week, Richmond were knocked out, yet Tom Lynch hasn't named his club yet. Everyone says it's Richmond, but he just hasn't said it himself yet. And I thought he might have been waiting until Richmond finished their finals run, but he hasn't said it yet. So anyway, look into that, will.
Are Collingwood even in the race for him, really?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So maybe that's...
Maybe he's just still trying to negotiate the contract.
Yeah, and that's what made it interesting to me. I thought, I know Hawthorn would be mentioned as well, but it just doesn't feel like we're in with a shot. But if you'd picked Richmond and their season's finished, you'd announce it. Or he's just, decided, I'm just going to wait.
Well, and Stephen May's another one too that they're talking about leaving the GC, which that guts all the leadership. And
it changed today, though, I think, that one. Because it came out and said he wants a long-term deal. Doesn't care.
Fucking give it to him.
Doesn't care where it is. Which Gold Coast could say, good, how many years do you want?
Pretty much. Give
him six.
Let him fill that in.
Yep.
Give him a buddy. As long as he's hanging around, at least that's a player that hasn't fucked off in your
leadership. Something too.
Group.
If they can say, look, our captain signed on for six, then you got to work to put the other pieces around him so he fucking stays and fulfills that contract.
He'd have the longest contract in the whole club, including the CEO and chairman.
All right. Shit. You got any more there?
Oh, look, there's so many fucking rumours and everything.
It's a fun time,
isn't it? Cirioli coming back? No, not happening. No. If he's knocking back Hawthorn, he's not going anywhere else.
He actually said that on a podcast during the week with Howard. God damn it. The Howie Games. He got asked and said, no, I'm definitely not coming back. Oh, look, if I did, it'd be for Hawthorn, but I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
And he won't come back.
Other quick ones. Brisbane Lions looking after Neil and McCarthy and maybe Thurlow.
Yeah, I reckon they'll get him. They'll get the lot.
Parker is another one they're talking
about. Not going to go anywhere.
They're waiting until next Monday. He did put out a thing saying, why would I leave this team?
Yeah.
But so did a few other guys who left those teams.
They've had press conferences where they said, I'm not leaving, and then left.
Essendon looking at picking up a few like we talked about.
Yep.
Apparently they're talking with Gaff as well. So, they're keen on it as well. Atkins already mentioned. St. Kilda looking after every motherfucker. Rowan to Geelong.
Yep.
Dalhouse is the other one that...
He's already agreed to Geelong.
Yep, so he'll be gone. I can see Rowan going there too. I think he's just the sort of player they like.
Okay, I think we'll wrap it up then.
Yeah.
I think we've run out.
There's so many others, but look, you can talk about them all day. No one fucking knows until the trade week starts, and there's always going to be some fucking surprise.
All right, that'll do us then. See you after the grand final.
Good luck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.